Today's Washing Tech episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at washingtech.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And also Warby Parker. Get a free 5-day home try-on at warbyparkertrial.com/joe. 5 pairs, 5 days, and the try-on is 100% free. That's warbyparkertrial.com/joe.
Be open. Create connections. It's tough right now, so now more than ever, bring people into the discussion.
Welcome to the Washing Tech Tech Policy Podcast. We deliver the latest tech policy news and brightest tech policy experts to you. Wherever you are, so you can stay productive, relevant, and informed in less time. From Washington, D.C., it's the Washing Tech Tech Policy Podcast with Joe Miller.
The Supreme Court declined to hear the lower court ruling that upheld net neutrality. Google employees walk out, and Amy Capilotti-Wolf is my guest. The Supreme Court has declined to overturn the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals ruling to uphold the 2015 net neutrality rules. Although the FCC overturned the rules itself and another lawsuit is working its way through the courts, the Supreme Court denial to hear the original case preserves the FCC ability to regulate the internet like a public utility. Thousands of Google employees staged walkouts around the world in protest of Google's handling of Android creator Andy Rubin's exit from the company, which was mired in sexual harassment allegations, which he denied. In a bombshell report, the New York Times had reported that Google paid Rubin some $90 million after he left, even though an internal investigation at Google found the sexual harassment allegations against him to be credible. Protesting staffers are demanding an end to forced arbitration for discrimination and harassment claims, a commitment to pay and opportunity equity, a publicly disclosed sexual harassment transparency report, a clear and uniform way to report sexual harassment, and a promotion of the chief diversity officer to direct report status to the CEO. CEO Sundar Pichai wrote in support of the protests. Amazon has commenced paying workers a $15 an hour minimum wage. It began on November 1st. Amazon is calling on its competitors to follow suit. None of the big box retailers have set a minimum wage of $15 per hour. Susan Molinari, who has served as the head of Google's Washington office for nearly 7 years, will be stepping down from her post. The former Republican representative will remain on board as a senior advisor. Molinari cites family changes as the reason for stepping down. Facebook and Twitter both failed to adequately respond to the aftermath of the Pittsburgh massacre that left 11 Jewish congregants dead. The Intercept reports that Facebook allowed advertisers to use white genocide as a target keyword, and Twitter found itself apologizing for allowing Kill All Jews to be a trending topic. Columbia University media researcher Jonathan Albright found an uptick in hate speech appearing on Instagram. He found numerous instances of hashtags like Soros49, MAGA, Libtards, and others associated with hate speech. Ali Breland reports in The Hill. Senators Amy Klobuchar and Mark Warner, both Democrats, sent a letter to Facebook last week urging them to improve their political ad transparency tools, saying they're unacceptable since they're still capable of displaying the wrong sources of funding for ad campaigns. The letter followed Vice News' successful experimental attempts to purchase Facebook ads posting as Mike Pence, the Islamic State in Iraq, and all 100 senators. The Trump administration has unsealed charges against 10 Chinese intelligence agents the U.S. accuses of engaging in a persistent campaign to hack into American aviation companies in Arizona, Massachusetts, Oregon, and elsewhere. The Chinese embassy in Washington denies the allegations. Back in 2015, former U.S. President Barack Obama and Chinese President Xi Jinping signed an accord to refrain from conducting cyber operations against the other. But now some experts are saying that the Trump administration's aggressive stance towards China has led the world's second largest economy to stop enforcing the accord. Aruna Viswanatha and Dustin Volz have the report for the Wall Street Journal. 56 companies, including Airbnb, Amazon, Apple, Cisco, Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, Lyft, Twitter, and others, issued a business statement opposing the Trump administration's plans to remove legal protections for transgender people. The statement calls for respect and transparency in policymaking and for equality under the law for transgender people. AT&T's HBO and Cinemax went dark last week after they couldn't reach a carriage deal with Dish Networks. HBO said it's the first time in 40 years they've gone dark. Dish accuses AT&T of preventing other carriers from accessing HBO. The dispute involves subscriber guarantees Dish would have to meet in order to carry HBO. Hackers have ramped up efforts to target the United States election infrastructure, according to the Department of Homeland Security. Attempts have largely been thwarted, but the agency is seeing as many as 10 hacking attempts per day. Democrats have significantly outspent Republicans on Facebook, with 63.5% of political spending on the platform compared to just 17.8% for Republicans, according to The Atlantic. Democrats spent $9.4 million, while Republicans have spent just $2.7 million, Alexis Madrigal reports in The Atlantic. Finally, the state of California has given Waymo the green light to conduct tests of robot cars without human drivers on public roads. Waymo is the first company to which California has granted the privilege. The permit allows Waymo to test 40 cars on roads with speed limits up to 65 miles per hour. And you can find links to all of these stories in the show notes and also on our Twitter feed. And our handle is at WashingTech. Stay with us. Washington Tech Tech Policy Podcast listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. You can listen at the gym, in the car, or on your morning run. How about Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right by Arlie Russell Hochschild? You can download Strangers in Their Own Land free by trying audible.com. Sign up for your free audiobook and 30-day trial today at washingtech.com/book.
You're plugged into the Washing Tech Tech Policy Podcast, the inclusive voice of tech policy.
The National Diversity Council named today's guest one of the top 50 most influential women tech leaders. As Symantec's Chief Human Resources Officer, CHRO, Amy Capalanti-Wolf leads Symantec's global HR, workforce planning, and real estate organizations. Prior to joining Symantec, Amy was CHRO at Silver Spring Networks. She has also held key human resources roles at Cisco Systems, Sun Microsystems, The Walt Disney Company, and Frito-Lay. Amy provides ongoing support of children and foster children as a board member of the nonprofit Silicon Valley Children's Fund. Amy holds both an MS in Industrial and Labor Relations and BS in Journalism and Public Relations from West Virginia University. Please welcome Amy Capalanti-Wolf. Hi, Amy. Welcome.
Hi, Joe. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Great. So let's get right into it. Tell us about where you see the most pain points when it comes to diversity and inclusion in tech.
I would say, one, it's about really going out there and building a broader pipeline. I think we tend to go to traditional channels to go look for talent, and we're all competing for the same talent. So how do we open up our armature to look at maybe talent that's 80% there or 70% there and take the time to develop those folks?
So tell me about the work Symantec's doing in the D&I space, how it came about, what some of your goals are in this space. What are you working on?
So I would say D&I has been something we've been working on for quite some time, and we haven't had the traction we would like. And here's not excuses, but some business landscapes. We've gone through a fair amount of change at the top, so leadership shifts. We've had a ton of divestitures, which is spinning some businesses out. We made lots of acquisitions. And so when you have this ebb and flow of talent coming in and coming out, and it's hard to stay grounded as to what you're trying to accomplish in relationship to diversity and inclusion. And so what we're working on is around culture, which then leads itself to a more diverse environment. So we've done a ton of work around trying to organize a culture that is not a bunch of microcosm of cultures, but one big culture that everybody can align towards. And then kind of create a place where there's a sense of belonging and inclusion, where people feel like they're part of the conversation and not out in the margins, to help sort of drive the business and therefore become a part of this diverse landscape. So we look at it at numbers, but we look at it largely by how do you create the right kind of environment where people can excel, people stick around, people really be their best because their ideas are being heard and they're contributing to the greater outcomes of the company.
And so tactically, how do you go about doing that? Are there particular programs or affinity groups that Symantec implements?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've come to find this work is really critical when it comes to the tactics. So I'd say we go after diversity in three different pillars. The first is building awareness. A lot of cool things we're already doing here in the company. So how do we get more people aware of it and involved in it? And that's everything from our employee resource groups to getting our CEO in action with other CEOs around the country with the PwC CEO Action Network, to getting our leaders out speaking on the platform of diversity and really getting others excited about it. The second pillar is around taking bias out of your hiring practices and your promotional and performance practices. So that's improving our performance and pay structures, pay equity, taking bias out of job descriptions, hiring panels, diverse slates. And the third pillar is about getting leaders to really learn how to be servant leaders and really learning about how do you create inclusiveness, listening more effectively, bringing people into the conversation. So building some leadership muscle as well.
And how are you measuring the results?
Well, we're looking at two ways. One is we're looking at through just the sheer numbers. And I always kind of liken measuring diversity results as like weighing yourself every day. It can be painful at times because you don't always see things moving as quick as you'd like them to see. So we're looking at quarterly measurements at both hiring, promotions, and where do we have choke points that people aren't moving up or across effectively based off of where they sit in the organization. So putting some real meat on different organizations having different goals based on their reflection. The second thing we're doing is we do quarterly pulse surveys that gives us a sense of whether people are feeling like they're engaged and also whether they feel like they belong. So we have an inclusive index that we've created that allows us to understand people feel like they're included in the conversation and they're able to be their best to work every day. So we're measuring it both in metrics in terms of hard skills as well as in looking at sort of how people feel like they're being included in the workplace every day.
Well, Amy, it's been a pleasure speaking with you and hearing about Symantec's work on D&I. Thanks so much for joining me. Now let's turn to your icebreaker, your career hack, and your pick for our book this week.
Okay.
Okay, so it's time for this week's icebreaker. The rules are simple. I spin the wheel. It gives us a random question. I ask it and you answer. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right,
fingers
let's crossed. Give it a spin here. All right. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Oh, gosh. I'd have to say I had a really great mentor one day say, Amy, stay present. Don't get caught up in the outcomes, because if you're always shooting for the outcome, you may miss really important things happening in front of you. And the other two pieces were where you're supposed to be is where you are in your life, and who you know today is who you're supposed to know in your life. So let things unravel as they should unravel and not get too caught up in the outcome. So great advice. I practice it as much as I can every day and also get my daughters and husband to do the same.
Yeah, one of the most important things is to surround yourself with people who are going to empower you and encourage you and not be sort of have that create that dark cloud. So imagine that I'm one of those. Now, imagine that I'm your mentee. You were talking about being a mentee. Let's put me in the position of a mentee who's just come to your office for advice on a career in diversity and inclusion in tech. How do you see this space changing over the next 10 years? What are some of the things that I should be preparing myself for?
Well, I would say in general, always be intellectually curious and always be in the state of inquiry to really understand what other people are experiencing, what they're feeling, stepping into their shoes a bit, because really diversity inclusion, if done proper, ends up not even existing because it's a way of how we operate every day. We value people with different perspectives, different looks, different attitudes, different ways of thinking, because that sort of helps us all be better together. So I'd say as someone I'd be mentoring, I'd say be open, always be inquiry. Don't overly advocate unless you feel like you've got a particular platform you're trying to drive towards. And network, 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 because eventually networks break down the walls that sometimes surround us when it comes to diverse or inclusive approaches.
That's interesting what you said about making sure that you're not advocating too hard. I thought that was an interesting case because in a lot of ways you can alienate people and, you know, kind of once you pull that card, it's tough to go back. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I completely agree, because I think sometimes we advocate for things that maybe aren't right or that are self-interests, or just because we're so passionate, we kind of miss the long view of what we're trying to accomplish here. So I've learned a lot in this job as the head of HR, sometimes not always entering in with a point of view, but listening and asking questions. And it helps shape my perspective very differently of how I walked into the room as how I leave the room. So I always reserve the right to get smarter, to not always have all the answers, and to surround myself with people who are going to challenge me, because I, at the end of the day, get a lot better results when I do that.
And to your point on intellectual curiosity, what are you reading these days?
I'm reading a lot of stuff. So I'm reading Fear by Bob Wood. So I read a lot of books. So you'll see on my nightstand, besides maybe a glass of wine, a couple of books I'll be reading. So Fear by Bob Woodward. This really cool book called Strangers in Their Own Land, which is by a Berkeley resident who went to go live in Louisiana and just talks about the different pain points. I love leadership books, so I like Leadership by Doris Goodwin. Mm-hmm. And then my old go-to that I read probably, I don't know, I watch the movie pretty often, is Hidden Figures. So mm-hmm. I'm now reading that book because I've watched the movie so many times and I just love that story. So I'm at any given time reading three or four books at night to help me wind down a bit.
Yeah, Strangers in Their Own Land is an interesting one. I read that one, and then I read Hillbilly Elegy, and
yes.
And then there was another one called White Rage that was along the same same genre. So what are some final ideas, Amy, that you'd like to leave with us, and where can we find you online?
So I would say, in relationship to diversity and inclusion, I would say, right now more than ever, seek to understand versus to be understood. Take the time to really understand someone else's perspective, and bring people in from the margins that maybe don't feel like they belong or don't have a voice, because bringing them in will not only help you be smarter, but help them be successful in what they're trying to endeavor. So be open, create connections. It's tough right now, so now more than ever, bring people into the discussion. And the best way to reach me is on Twitter. I'm at Amy Capilanti, and I'll spell that. C as in Charlie, A, P, P as in Paul, E, L, L as in Larry, A-N-T-I at Twitter. And also I'm on LinkedIn at Amy Capilanti Wolf. Feel free to reach out anytime. I love to hear from folks about this topic in particular.
And you've been listening to Amy Capilanti Wolf, Chief Human Resources Officer at Symantec and official member of the Forbes Human Resource Council. Amy, thanks for joining me.
Joe, thank you. Take care.
That concludes episode 161 of the podcast. Thanks so much to all of you for listening. If you like what we do, we'd love to hear from you. Please take a moment, head over to Apple Podcasts, give it a review. It helps others know what they can expect from the show and really helps us out. Thanks again to all of you for listening, and I'll see you back here next week. Take care.